everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Lowdown. Thank you so much for being with us. I missed you guys a lot, man. It's going to be a fun first hour. We'll get into the NBA here just a little bit. Lots of NFL news today. Obviously, training camp underway. Perhaps the NFL is taking a giant step when it comes to marijuana discipline. We'll talk about that at 12:30. My favorite story of the day is coming up at 12:47. When you want a ball, but you can't. When you want to go hard at the club, but your credit card gets declined. That's coming up at 12:45. All this hour. Again, man, I missed you guys. I genuinely hate working a shift that's not 12 to 3. It drives me crazy. But I'm happy to be back here with you guys. Obviously, no Jay Ross today. Jason is still on vacation. He'll be on vacation all week. So I will be with you here all the way up until Friday, as a matter of fact, where I move back to 3 o'clock. But that'll be fun because I'll be working with Doug Christie for the first time. But for the next couple of days, I'm here with you where I am supposed to be. So 44-1140, if you want to jump in on the text line, as always, 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. Want to thank everybody who took a few minutes to go over to khdk.com and check out my most recent blog. We write a couple of those every week, and a lot of times I write about wrestling stuff. A lot of times I write about fun stuff. A lot of times I just write about random stuff, music, whatever it may be. Yesterday I chose to write about something that was a little bit more personal. If you were with us at 3 o'clock, you heard what I had to say about Colin Kaepernick and the situation with the Baltimore Ravens. Nothing really to report on that today. We'll have some of Commissioner Roger Goodell's comments on Colin Kaepernick coming up here in just a little bit, but got a tremendous amount of feedback on that particular blog post, so wanted to thank you guys for that. Again, if you want to check it out for yourself, you can go over to khdk.com. Something I came across today, which it caught my attention only because it just seemed to become funnier or make this whole situation funnier is not a word. It made the situation more funny involving the Cleveland Cavaliers, and that is a report today. Because remember, the hot trade commodity in the National Basketball Association before before Kyrie's public proclamation that he wanted out of Cleveland was Carmelo Anthony wanting to get out of New York. And we had kept hearing Carmelo really wants to go to Houston. He'll waive his $8 million trade kicker to get to Houston. He really wants to get to Houston. He wants to get out of New York. We started kicking around the idea, okay, wait a minute, Carmelo wants out. Kyrie wants out. If you're the Cleveland Cavaliers and you trade Carmelo, if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers and you trade Kyrie Irving to New York, there's really no danger there, right? Like, you're not worried about the New York Knicks, led by Kyrie Irving and Kristaps Porzingis, beating you in the first round of the playoffs or the second round. You're certainly not worried about them beating you in the conference finals. A Kristaps Porzingis, Kyrie Irving, New York Knicks-led team, they're not better than Boston. They're not better than Washington. So if you're Cleveland, you look like, I got to move Kyrie somewhere. I'd prefer the Western Conference, but if I could send him to New York and get Carmelo back, maybe a little extra there, a little extra incentive because Kyrie has an extra year there, maybe I could do that. Turns out Carmelo doesn't want to play in Cleveland, which is funny because you keep hearing the term. I don't know for a fact that Sam Amick coined it here first on our show, but it's a term that we've thrown around a lot lately, and that's banana boat ball, right? We want to get the banana boat crew together. Now, Carmelo is an associate of the Banana Boat crew, but you got to remember that Carmelo wasn't actually on the Banana Boat. That was Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, and Gabrielle Union. But Carmelo's part of that group. We know that.
That's fine.
Thought, okay, this might happen. It would take a little bit of work because Carmelo isn't nearly as, nearly as sexy as Kyrie Irving is, at least at this point of Kyrie's career. So could probably work out. Probably work out for both teams. Work out for Kyrie, too, at least in the sense of New York is one of the teams Kyrie wanted to play for. In the sense that Kyrie will, even though Kristaps Porzingis is there, Kyrie would be the man there. But
is that better?
Yes.
Carmelo doesn't want to go to Cleveland. What is going on in Cleveland?
You can hear my music.
Oh, look, we know. We're talking about a year. Carmelo doesn't want to go play with LeBron for a year? And
that?
A chance to win a title? Let me ask you something.
Awesome.
Does Houston, with Carmelo Anthony, have a better chance to get to the finals than a Cleveland Cavalier team with Carmelo Anthony? Houston, you got Harden, Chris Paul, which we don't know how that's going to work. Oh, by the way, Mike D'Antoni's there. We have no clue how this is going to work. But people are buying in. You want to put Carmelo on there? Okay, cool. The Rockets better than the Spurs? Oh, you could make a argument, I guess. I don't know. I don't really believe the Spurs are out until they're actually out. Is that Rockets team better than the Golden State Warriors? Remember, this is just to get to the finals. This isn't to win the finals. This is just to get to the final series. Can that Houston team do that? I think so. Right now, a month and a half before training camp starts, it sure feels like Golden State's unbeatable. Without having played a single game, without having had a single practice, it sure feels like they are unbeatable. So let's go over to the Eastern Conference now. You put Carmelo on that Cleveland Cavaliers team. You're still dealing with the same teams that you dealt with last year. The Toronto Raptors pretty much stayed firm, stayed past, stayed right where they were. Boston got Gordon Hayward. Okay. Curious. We'll see. I still don't think Boston addressed their biggest need, which was someone down low, someone to bang, someone to put in work. I don't think they did that. I feel like they have to address that before playoff time, or we'll just get a repeat of what we saw last year, in which they're really, really good. They're the number one overall seed, right? Or excuse me, the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. But when it came time to play the big boys, and look, I know Isaiah was hurt, but before Isaiah got hurt, did you think Boston was going to beat Cleveland? I didn't. We had their own play-by-play guy on. We saw Sean Grandy. Sean Grandy saw every single second that the Boston Celtics played last year. We had him on the air towards the end of the season. No. We're just not good enough. We're not big enough. We're not strong enough. We're not tough enough. All that turned out to be very, very true when the conference finals came along. There were a lot of people who thought they weren't going to be able to beat Washington. It took an incredible effort from Isaiah Thomas for the Boston Celtics to beat Washington. Which brings up my other team. Washington, where would you rank them now in the Eastern Conference? Cleveland's still better than them, right? You add Carmelo to that team, they're still better than them. LeBron's essentially the point guard as it is. I know you're removing the physical point guard, which is Kyrie Irving, but go back and watch some of those games. How many times does LeBron James bring the ball up the floor? What does Carmelo want here? Not only what does Carmelo want, what is going on with these NBA guys? Now, if I'm a New York Knicks fan, or just as a basketball, I can understand where Melo's coming from. One, it's Melo's fault that he's stuck there in New York because he willingly signed that massive extension, knowing full good and well that team was going to stink. Knowing full good and well when he signed that contract extension that the newly appointed president of basketball operations didn't like him. Phil Jackson didn't like him. Phil Jackson didn't like him from jump, but Uncle Phil felt like he had to give Carmelo that contract extension because where else was he going to go? Turned out to be a loser for everybody. Dolan lost, Phil lost, Knicks fans lost. Carmelo's losing. Carmelo's getting paid, but he's losing. Now Scott Perry walked over there after free agency, after the draft, and inherited that mess. Carmelo wants to play for Houston that bad. Does he just want to live in Texas? What if a trade was floated out there with Dallas? Would he still want to go? Or the trade was floated out there with San Antonio? What is it about Houston? Do we really think Houston's going to beat Golden State? I mean, if somehow we eliminated Golden State and it was Houston versus Cleveland, sure, I'd sign up for that. I mean, if the Warriors, you know, team plane got held hostage by somebody, it's the only way I see them losing a series, a seven-game series next year. at least to a team as it's currently constructed. You could add Melo to that group. By the way, if you add Carmelo Anthony to the Houston Rockets, you're losing someone, right? Not just someone, you're losing someone's. Someone's Ryan Anderson? Okay. Clint Capella? Okay, are you losing both of them? If you're Houston, you better do everything you can to protect Clint Capella and not lose him. Because that's your interior. You're going to lose Ryan Anderson, who ran that Mike D'Antoni offense beautifully, who helped James Harden look like an MVP candidate. Oh, by the way, Daryl Morey, man, his level of bitterness is absolutely extraordinary. We'll talk about what Daryl Morey said regarding postseason awards coming up in 2:30, coming up at the 2 o'clock hour. We'll have that for you. But the level of bitterness there from the Houston Rockets regarding their boy not winning the MVP is pretty incredible. They want to put all the onus on winning, man. Y'all didn't win. Y'all won games. Who cares if you won games? You want to talk about winning games? Okay. What about Boston? Boston won more games than you did. San Antonio won more games than you did. There's this level of entitlement coming out of Houston right now that just boggles my mind. I'm not convinced yet. Now, I know they're in the Drew League right now, and they're doing their thing. They're out there playing together. Everybody's having fun. Harden and CP3. Mike D'Antoni did something pretty spectacular with James Harden last year. Mike D'Antoni came out right at the start of camp and said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put James Harden at point guard. This is what I expect from James Harden. He averaged 7 assists a game last season. I think he could average 14. James Harden himself laughed that off until he didn't. Everybody stopped laughing like, okay, this works. Harden with Dwight Howard and that whole debacle that was going on there in Houston the year before couldn't have been less interesting. But somehow Mike D'Antoni made that group interesting. Oh, Mike D'Antoni, that's the other thing. By the way, Carmelo's played for Mike D'Antoni before. How did that work? That worked good or successful? No? Not so much? Yes? Nah, it didn't work. In fact, Carmelo's the reason Mike D'Antoni didn't last in New York. They catered around the superstar again. But it's going to work this time, right? We're going to take a formula that was successful last year. We're going to add 2 ball-dominant players. And it's going to be more successful. Okay. So now your 3-star players, assuming, of course, this deal goes through. Chris Paul, James Harden, Carmelo Anthony. Every single one of those guys needs the ball in their hand. And, oh, by the way, the guys who racked up those league-leading assists for James Harden last year, Ryan Anderson, who knows who else? Oh, Patrick Beverley's already gone. You're probably going to have to do away with Clint Capella in a deal that involves Carmelo Anthony. They're all gone. Now you're playing with role players. You still want to buy into the Houston Rockets right now? I can't figure this thing out with Carmelo. Carmelo is now it's being publicly put out there that Carmelo doesn't want to play in Cleveland next year. I don't get it. First text right here, right at the top of the text line. Last one that came in. Why are these new age athletes so sensitive? I don't know what a new age athlete is, but it sure feels like some of these ball players, these basketball players at least, are sensitive. Kyrie wants out of a team that has gone to the finals 3 years in a row. Carmelo wants out of a team that hasn't made the playoffs since, what? It's been a few years. Not only made the playoffs, but, I mean, when was the last time Carmelo really contended? Wasn't that his last year in Denver? The year before he was traded? Didn't it go to, like, game 6 or 7 Nuggets against the Lakers the year the Lakers won the championship? Was it 2011? That's almost an era ago in basketball years. Forced his way out of the Nuggets. Now he's trying to force his way out of New York. Whenever Carmelo forces his way out of a situation, it doesn't particularly go very well. Hell, it went well for the Nuggets. Went well for the Knicks for a year. That's it. Carmelo wants to play for the Rockets bad enough to where he doesn't want to play with his BFF in Cleveland. I wonder if this Kyrie thing is like, whoa, man, I don't want to play with that dude. He's demanding. I mean, they, of course, after the fact, after Kyrie is public, let me rephrase that. After the leak of Kyrie's meeting with Cleveland ownership about him asking for a trade was made public, people start putting out little social media videos of LeBron chastising Kyrie Irving like he's Mario Chalmers back in Miami or something. So after the fact, it's a whole lot easier to look at this picture and think, oh, okay, I get it. It makes sense. Oh, I see it now. Like, no, we didn't see it then. Oh, and there's some good ones out there. Search LeBron James, search LBJ and Kyrie in like Twitter or Instagram. You'll get a ton of them. You'll see my particular favorite one is where LeBron is yelling at Kyrie on the floor and Kyrie is acting like a kid who doesn't hear his parent yelling at him and is just walking away, looking off into the distance, completely ignoring him. It's funny. It's funny now. The Cavs are going to be just fine next year. They'll be just fine. But why in the world Carmelo wouldn't want to play, even if LeBron leaves? Even if LeBron leaves, which I understand I might be the only person in the world who thinks this, even if LeBron leaves, I'm not fully convinced, that LeBron is going to leave. I know LeBron loves us talking about him leaving because LeBron James, he's got an ego like everybody else. He likes that we're talking about him. He likes that we're talking about his future that's a full year away. It's going to dominate conversation. Imagine what it's going to be like. People are still hung up on this Lakers thing because apparently the Bronze people called the Lakers at some point, had an informal off-the-record conversation that, oh, by the way, somehow managed to get leaked. Weird how that works. Imagine when Cleveland comes to Los Angeles next year. Imagine when the Cavs are playing at the Staples Center, what that circus is going to be like. There's precedent for it. Remember when the Cavs played in New York? When LeBron was a free agent the first time, all that went into that. Remember when LeBron was in Miami and they played in Cleveland and he started talking about how much he loves Cleveland? Oh, it's going to be a circus. What about when Cleveland goes back to Miami next year? First time. There's going to be some conversations there about him going back to Miami. D-Wade goes back, mends some fences with Pat Riley, LeBron, Mensa. I don't think LeBron will go to Miami, by the way. It'll be a topic of conversation because Eric Spoelstra is a great coach. Miami's a good organization. They'll have good young pieces there that they could build around, or build with, I should say. But LeBron likes being the guy, like the guy in the entire organization. And when you're around Pat Riley, you're never the guy. And Pat Riley will make sure you know that you're not the guy, not as long as he's around. We've heard stories of Pat Riley throwing his rings on the table. At me, bro. There they are. What do you want to do? You want to win those? We've heard those stories. We saw that post-game, that post-season press conference the year LeBron went to Cleveland. Oh, it's you know, you can't skip town the first time you hit a roadblock. You got to stick together. You got to be a family. You got to be a unit. He was talking to one person. Everybody on earth knew who he was talking to. Pat Riley told LeBron James when LeBron called to tell Pat Riley he was going to Cleveland moments before that SI article was published by Lee Jenkins, that famous I'm coming home article. Pat Riley told him you're making the biggest mistake of your basketball career. LeBron James never forgot that. LeBron James has admittedly never forgot that. Think he's going to go back there? I still can't figure out why we got him going to Los Angeles other than there appears, allegedly, to have been some sort of conversation between the two groups. Not that that's tampering or anything, because apparently that tampering law doesn't exist in the National Basketball Association anymore. By the way, I'm going to continuously refer to the NBA as the National Basketball Association to get it on par with the National Football League, as all these other analysts do. I feel it's only fair. But we're really going to send LeBron to Los Angeles to play with Lonzo, who we don't know anything about yet, to play with Brandon Ingram, who just might be starting to come into his own, might be, to play with the Summer League champions of the world. And who the hell wants to play with LeBron at this point? His best friend doesn't. His BFF, who is in control of his own destiny, said, "Nah, man, I don't want to go to Ohio. That's a hard pass. I want to go to Houston." Now, I can't confirm that he said this, but it sure sounds like Carmelo Anthony isn't waiving his no-trade clause for anyone other than the Houston Rockets. All right. Good luck getting past the Golden State Warriors, who re-signed everybody, brought in Swaggy P, brought in Caspi, they even kept JaVale freaking McGee. The one guy who we thought, well, they can't, right? They can't keep JaVale McGee. Like, he was a nice little addition. He worked for them. They kept him. They kept everybody. They brought in others. But you want to go to Houston. You want to move to the West along with Jimmy Butler. Chris Paul flops teams in the West. Okay. Good luck with that. Lots of NFL news. Training camp fully underway. Cam Chancellor got a big extension from the Seattle Seahawks. We'll talk about that. Some of the other stories coming out of camp today. The NFL appears to be. Now, they won't officially confirm this, despite the fact that Roger Goodell seems to be incredibly visible these last few days. He's been in Baltimore. He's been in New York. He's been all over the place. He must just be doing his own little camp tour. But they haven't officially confirmed this, but it has been put out there that there could be some changes moving forward with how the NFL looks at marijuana use. We'll talk about that in detail in about 7 minutes. A lot of you have really enlightened me on the use of marijuana as it relates to pain management. I've gotten some great emails because I'm openly ignorant on that topic. And I've always heard from a number of you, as a matter of fact, that the studies are out there. I've had a number of those studies forward to me that I've read in depth. So I'm trying to educate myself on that a little bit better, and it appears whether the NFL is educated on this subject or not, they've never openly embraced it. Now it sounds like they may finally be willing to embrace it. So again, we'll touch on that here in just a couple of minutes. My favorite story is coming up this hour also. When you want a ball, you want to go hard at the club, you want to show off for the squad, but your credit card gets declined. We're just getting started. It's the first hour of the Lowdown here on Sports 1140. Back here on the Lowdown, I'm Damian Barling. No Jay Ross today. He'll be back next week. Much-deserved vacation. We're going to get into this latest report regarding the NFL. Perhaps, starting to take steps to soften their stance on the use of marijuana. Again, we'll get to that in just a heartbeat. Edward, we appreciate you calling. Thank you for holding so long. What do you got?
Go to four teams. And it doesn't look like he can go to any of them. He can't go to New York if Melo doesn't waive his contract.
Mm-hmm.
San Antonio apparently has dropped out. Mm-hmm. Miami has no future number one picks. And in Minnesota, he wouldn't be the man. That's Karl-Anthony Towns' team. So it looks like the longer this goes on, the more likely he stays in Cleveland, unless they figure out what I think I might be the only guy to have figured out. There's one trade that works perfectly for both teams.
All right, give it to me.
It's probably an even-up trade, although Cleveland might include a second rounder and get back a first rounder. But it's basically even-up Kyrie Irving for Russell Westbrook.
Oh, get out of here.
Well, here's why it makes sense. Kyrie gets out from under the shadow of LeBron. He plays with Paul George, who's also only there for a year, and he's got a chance to keep the guy with him on a team. He, even if the finals suck again like they did last year, at least you've got Westbrook against Durant.
That's not a bad point, Edward. I'm going to take that and run with it for a second because here's the one reason that might actually make sense. It sounds crazy, but here's the one reason why it's not so crazy. Remember the big matzo ball that's hanging out there for the Oklahoma City Thunder? The fact that Westbrook is due for the super max extension that we just saw James Harden get that we just saw John Wall get. He hasn't signed his yet. Now, he doesn't have to, but the problem is he can opt out next year, which means we could get to February and not know, and not so much us, because who cares what we know? But we could get to February and Sam Presti doesn't know whether his reigning, defending most valuable player of the National Basketball Association will be on his team. And are you really going to be the guy who lost the reigning, defending most valuable player of the National Basketball Association and Kevin Durant? See, Sam Presti can't be that. So, Edward, your thought isn't terribly far off. It sounds insane. It really does. Kyrie for Russ? Come on, that's not going to happen. But if Sam Presti gets freaked out enough, his camp rolls around. Now, he certainly doesn't have to do it at camp. But by February, by that new trade deadline that's before the All-Star game, Sam Presti better figure it out. He better be confident that Russ is in for that big bread and he can offer him the supermax that those two other players have gotten, Harden and Wall. Or he's got to be willing to make that unprecedented move of trading Russell Westbrook. And that's another good point, Edward, is how long is this going to go on? Right? Some people think, a lot of analysts have said this is going to go on until December 15th because all of those guys who signed extensions and contracts this year, they're not eligible to be traded until December 15th. Some of the rookies who signed contracts, they're not eligible to be traded. In fact, all of the rookies who signed contracts, they're not eligible to be traded until 30 days after they sign their contract. Josh Jackson has been a hot topic there in Phoenix. His 30 days is up Thursday. Phoenix has been an alleged trade partner with Cleveland. So that's something we'll watch. A couple of people have pointed out here on the text line, Carmelo has that extra year on his contract. Part of the reason, or maybe the sole reason, he doesn't want to go to Cleveland is he knows he's going to play with LeBron for a year. LeBron has told him he's going to bolt. He doesn't want to be stuck in Cleveland without him. That's very possible. Of course, we're all just guessing at this point. But I guess that's part of the fun for off-season basketball, right? By the way, the off-season only lasts another, month? Month and a half at the most. And amazingly, the NFL offseason officially ends on Thursday. There is a football game on this network Thursday. We'll have the Hall of Fame game coming your way at 4:30 this Thursday, the first football game of the year. I think it's the Cardinals and the Cowboys. Shocker, right? It's the Cowboys. It's old Jerry. Old Jerry goes into the Hall of Fame. Pretty amazing, Jerry Jones. Again, understanding the way the league works, I get it. Jerry Jones won two titles because of Jimmy Johnson. Actually, he won three because of Jimmy Johnson. The third one goes, someone else gets the credit for that. But I guess when you build a $1.2 billion stadium that's the landmark for all stadiums across the country, then I guess you deserve to go into the Hall of Fame. We talked about this NFL marijuana. There seems to be a push that the NFL is going to, for the first time, start working with the Players Association to study the use of marijuana as pain management. Again, this is a big door that's opening for the very first time. The league wrote a letter to the Players Association saying they're willing to work. They're willing to work with it to study the potential use by players as a pain management tool. Well, and that's interesting for a lot of reasons, because if you're using it for a pain management tool, how is that monitored, right? It's like, are you going to stop monitoring recreational use? Because they're trying to be clear here that they're monitoring it as a substitute, right, to pills. Because there was a huge conversation this year about the abuse of prescription drugs in the NFL and how players are abusing them and teams are abusing their access to them. So it's a big problem that I think was reported very strongly for, what, like a week? And then it was like, oh, let's move on to something else. It's a pretty massive story. But I think for the first time now, the NFL is, okay, let's counter that. Now, the Washington Post has reported all of this stuff. No one from the Players Association has confirmed it. No one from the NFL has confirmed it. But this type of stuff isn't leaked without a reason. There's a reason that this was put out there. There's a reason that this information was given to the Washington Post to gauge the public's reaction to it. The NFL's letter pointed out a few areas for potential research. We mentioned pain management. One thing that letter does not address is how will it affect the drug test and recreational use? Do you have to be, are we now talking, instead of being prescribed Vicodin or Oxycodone or whatever pain management drugs that are being handed out in NFL locker rooms now, are we now talking about NFL trainers handing out prescriptions for marijuana? And does it last a certain number of weeks? Like, okay, this is your prescription for this last 2 weeks. Any drug test after that, you're on your own. That's considered recreational use. All right, you're due back 4 to 6 weeks. Okay, this prescription will cover you 6 weeks. Anything after that is considered recreational use. I'm curious how the NFL is going to navigate those waters because it appears that they're very sensitive, for whatever reason, about the use of marijuana as a recreational drug. Could be wrong, but it feels like they should be worried about several other kind of drugs before they worry about that one. And if it's safe enough to prescribe as a tool for pain management, what would be the harm in it being used in a recreational form? And again, these are just questions. All I'm doing is asking you questions. Maybe you do or you don't know the answer. I'm not an advocate either way. I've openly admitted I don't know enough about the subject. As much as I'm trying to study, I don't feel like I can cram decades of research on this topic into an NFL offseason. But I certainly haven't seen anything that leads me to believe there's any harm to it. Why not? It's not like guys are going to be getting high before a game. Now, look, I've admitted on this show, I don't smoke. Never have. Never been something I've been into. But doesn't it, like, you know, when you watch it in the movies, isn't everybody, like, super chill and relaxed? They can't be worried about guys smoking before games, right? Because no linebacker is going to want to go out there, hot, like, just totally chill, like, dazed and confused. Nobody going to do that. So I don't exactly know what the NFL's concern is with medical marijuana, but you have to, or marijuana, period. But it is a positive first step. At least it appears to be a positive first step. Mark, thanks for calling.
Good afternoon, David. David, this is about a year ago. I brought this subject up with Grant on his show. Lee Steinberg, you know, one of the most powerful agents in sports, has been advocating this for quite a while. And I think you get into a slippery slope when you start talking about legalizing marijuana, because it is still illegal federally. And how do you manage it in different states where it's illegal?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that I think the other kind of aspect of this whole argument about marijuana and, you know, for pain medication is, you know, there's a lot of suspensions in the NFL due to use of drugs, and one of them is marijuana. And it is a choice drug with a certain segment. And I think this is, you know, another way of keeping these guys eligible and not suspending them for doing off-season, you know, recreational or whatever you want to call it. But if you want to talk about pain management, heck, every pro football player who's, you know, who plays could say that he's under pain management because it's a contact sport. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a slippery slope, and I think it's a ploy, I think, to keep these players eligible. as well as pain medication.
Sure. That's not a bad point either there, Mark. Man, thank you so much for calling and educating me a little bit on that. Getting lots of great text on this subject as well at 44-1140. We got a text from someone. Text your name back, by the way. Got a text from someone who says they work at a marijuana distribution place here in California, works with a lot of cancer patients and senior citizens. I posed the question to them, could medical marijuana, or excuse me, I don't know why I keep using that term, could marijuana help with pain management in the NFL? The response, absolutely. There's even products that have the medicinal and pain-relieving properties of marijuana without the high. It's called CPD as opposed to THC, which is what gets you high. Again, this is stuff that's entirely new to me. I had no idea that there was a marijuana drug that could not get you high but could relieve pain management. That's pretty amazing. I appreciate these texts that are coming in at 44-1140. Please keep those coming. We can continue this conversation, but I got to share my favorite story with you also next. When you ball, when you go hard at the club and that tab comes, and that credit card doesn't take it. Happened to a couple of NFL players. We'll explain next. I love the first line. It's packed. Homies don't know how to act. Apparently there's some ball players that don't know how to act. We'll give you that story here in just a heartbeat. Couple of texts here. Man, I didn't realize everybody listening was a marijuana expert. That's fantastic. It certainly clears up a lot of questions I have about some of these texts that come in, but some of the information you guys are sending this way are pretty awesome. Just a quick note, though, if you're sending something through the text line, if it's a link, I can't click on it. You'll have to send any links through Twitter at Damian Barling or on the Lowdown Facebook page. They just don't let us click links. The text line is basically it's a website with a computer screen in front of us. So that's how I see all of these. Some great stuff coming in. It looks like I'm anxious to see where this goes. I can't imagine this is something that's going to happen anytime soon. It's something that I'd have to imagine progresses over the course of, I don't know, next offseason. Maybe the next couple of off seasons, but it's a start, and it's a start. And you know, we had Mark on just a second ago. He posed the question about managing, how would you navigate legal use of marijuana in the different states across the NFL? And I thought that was a good question. You guys could correct me if I'm wrong. Medical marijuana is legal, right? Like, you can be prescribed medical marijuana by a doctor, no matter where you live. Doesn't mean you can, you know, go to the store, you know, and buy it, but you can be prescribed it, right? That goes across the country. Now, that's a question. I don't know for sure. But again, it would tie into what we originally noted, that they were very specific in the remarks that were leaked to the Washington Press that the NFL is willing to talk to the Players Association about the use of marijuana for the purpose of alleviating pain. Said nothing at all about recreational use. Now, that may be the key to the entire thing, is that you add the term medical, which I kept saying there a few minutes ago. If you add the term medical to marijuana, suddenly it becomes legal. Suddenly you can have a prescription for it. So we'll see where the NFL goes with this. Aaron, thanks for calling, man. What do you got?
Hey, man. I have stage 4 cancer, and I take CBD oil. It's a high concentration of CBDs and a very low concentration of THC, mm-hmm. and I take it at work. I mean, it helps me tremendously get through the day. I don't know if I could still be holding on to my job without it.
Wow.
But it not only helps with stuff from cancer, but it's very good for things that affect the brain. It's also used quite heavily for seizures, and even kids are taking it. You don't feel any effect from it at all.
Oh, that's
you can take it and not be intoxicated, and you know, go through your day just like normal.
Does it help you deal with coworkers that you occasionally want to kick?
Yeah,
I might have
my
to get
coworkers are super cool, and my boss is very cool. So, but it does, you know, it doesn't even, you don't even really feel any sort of like chill effect from it or anything. It just gets in there and does its stuff. It shrinks cancer cells. It helps kids who used to have 15 or 20 seizures a day go down to like 5 in a week. And, you know, they're just now starting to test it for stuff like CTE. And it could also, and it definitely has recovery benefits from concussions. So it's, I think it'd be something good for the league to look into, at least at that level. If they're worried about, you know, players being high or partying or using it as an excuse. And if they take that, it's going to have such a, if they take the oil with a really low THC, it's really not affecting them at all. It's just helping them get better without having to take Vicodin and Toradol and Norco and all the other really bad stuff that they're using all the time.
Yeah, Aaron, we really appreciate you, man. Thanks for sharing your story, my friend. We're pulling for you. Thank you.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks.
All right, that's Aaron. Hey, again, a lot of texts coming through. I'm being enlightened here. Apparently, even medical marijuana isn't legal across the country. It says, I've gotten a couple of texts here. Medical marijuana is only legal in certain states, about 29 of them. It's interesting. Yeah, I don't know how the NFL is going to navigate this. I really don't know. I got sent a note from off-site producer Kyle Madsen that says the CBA for the collective bargaining agreement, the CBA for the NFL, is coming up in 2020. So we got a couple more years. I'd have to imagine this may very well be one of the top things discussed in addition to a conversation that's been had quite a bit over the course of the last few days, and that's guaranteed contracts. This is a subject we can get back into. It looks like a lot of people are really passionate about it, which we always appreciate. Some of these texts, especially when I'm by myself, so forgive me, with Jason Ross on vacation, it's a little more difficult for me to read these tweets as the conversation is moving along, but I promise I'm doing my best. We'll respond to as many of them as we can. I'll even stash a few aside, and we can get back into this topic here in just a little bit. I wanted to share this story with you just because I find it funny. You ever been at the club, right? You ever been at the club? You ever been at a bar? Ever been out? Drinks start flowing. And why is it when the drinks start flowing, you start getting a little bit more free with your money? And you realize, yeah, we've probably had a few drinks. Hold up, guys. I'm going to pick up the tab. And you know when you open a tab like at an actual bar, you don't see it. It's not like they don't bring it to you. You just go to the bar and say, I'm going to close out the tab. And then they bring you the bill and you realize, oh, man. I lost track of how many rounds the four of us ordered, or the five of us, or the six of us, or however many of us ordered. Well, apparently, Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive lineman Caleb Benock and Detroit Lions defensive tackle A'shaun Robinson ran into a very similar problem. You see, they're being sued for $9,332 by a nightclub owner in Hollywood. They were guests there. And apparently, they got a little free-flowing with the bill, ordered drinks for everybody, did that whole thing, went to pay it. Caleb's credit card didn't clear it. A'shaun's credit card declined. So they were able to pay Harrington $4,000 right there from the Venmo app. Say, hey, man, sorry about that. We'll send you over the $4,000, but they still owe $5,332. And now they're refusing to pay it. And what's so great is that training camp is opened, and now they can be asked questions about their bar tab. Benock said yesterday after practice, hey, man, we did our part. That's all I'm really going to say. I'm focused on football. I'm not really worried about what they've got going on. The legal system is going to play itself out. I'm focused on what we got going on here. Just to give you a quick little nugget here, Benock makes $2.5 million, and A'shaun Robinson signed a deal, four-year deal with $2.9 million guaranteed. Once you break that down, those guys don't make a lot of money. Those guys do not make enough money to have a $10,000 bill. Again, 2.6, not going to sneeze at that. Cut that at best in half, 1.3. At best, 1.3. That's his contract. That's his guaranteed money for 4 years, 1.3. Homeboy, you don't make enough to have a $10,000 bar tab. Nah, bruh. Now you're being sued. Now you look foolish. They'll be on the latest 30 for 30, Broke Part 2. We're back with more of the Lowdown next.